It's tough to live up to the building. It's Deacon Kevin's last homily. Like, there isn't enough stress going on anyway and everything. But here we are gathered again, and I really want to look at the readings for just a few moments. We all know the story from Genesis, right? It's the beginning of the Bible, and you've heard me say it before. Bible, to some of us theologians, is an acronym. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is what we should be doing. This is how we should live our lives. It's inspired by God, written by man, that leads us to an understanding of the relationship between God and us. God was perfectly okay by himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity together, nothing but love, that's what the Trinity is. They didn't need human beings. But yet God chose to create us. Not as playthings or let's see what happens kind of things, not at all. But to be in relationship with us. And what did he do? He created Adam and then Eve. And he put them in a place where they had everything they could need. But then the serpent, Satan. Now, you know the story about Satan, right? He was one of the four archangels. Rather interesting position. There's only four of them, the whole universe. And one day, Lucifer kind of looked at what God was doing. I guess God must have had a coffee mug and a clipboard and thought to himself, I can do that job. How hard can it be? And there was a mutiny. Wanted to pull away to be the leader. And we know the story. Saint Michael threw him out of the heavens. So to put it in very vernacular terms that we would understand, this makes Satan a disgruntled former employee. Not only that, he's jealous. He sees what God is doing. He saw that it was good. He heard that it was good and wants to mess up God's plan. So now he's kind of like a vicious stalker ex-boyfriend. So we've got Satan, who's a disgruntled former employee, who is also a vicious stalker ex-boyfriend kind of guy, who wants to love you and does love you as much as Jesus does, but for all the wrong reasons. He wants to foil God's plan. And he does it here in the Garden of Eden. And unfortunately, we human beings, testament to who we are, God comes looking for them. There's a verse that's also that came looking for them in the cool of the evening. Who do you go for a walk with in the cool of the evening, at that twilight? The ones you love. And this is what he wanted to do, but they're hiding. Did God know where they were? Of course he did. But now he's going to let them be accountable. Where are you? We're hiding. Why were you hiding? As a parent, how many times have we asked the question you already know the answer to? You know, who didn't, who failed to, who forgot to? He's giving them the opportunity to stand up, to be accountable. And they messed that one up too. And the blame game starts. It wasn't my fault, it was her fault. She says, wasn't my fault, it was the serpent's fault. And we're just going to pass the buck as much and as far as we can. It's also said that they were naked, and some tradition has it that they made fig leaves to cover themselves with. Now, I have no firsthand knowledge of this. I read it somewhere along the way. But apparently, the oil on the fig leaf itself is very irritating to human skin. Now, think for a moment where they might have put the fig leaves. Good, you got it. So we've committed a sin. Now we've tried to cover it up, and it only made things worse. Isn't that the quandary of sin? God gives us the chance to be accountable, to stand up for what we have said and what we have done that is not right, the sacrament of reconciliation. We have that now. But here he is in this moment, and of course, things need to be done. And there is that enmity, that separation between the serpent and the woman. And we're still fighting that battle today. Satan wants the foothold. we can turn it away by our belief in God, by our steadfast loyalty to the Mass and to the Eucharist. I've heard it said recently and read it not long ago by an exorcist who was speaking with the devil during an exorcism, and the devil had said to the exorcist, "The people don't understand the power they have against me. If they said one rosary a day, I couldn't touch them." Are we doing that? Are we doing our best to keep evil at bay? Paul reminds us of his belief, of his steadfast truth and understanding as the apostle of Jesus Christ, selected by Christ himself on that road to Damascus, and his steadfast belief and understanding of who we are and what we are called to do, to be faithful. There are moments in our church where the popes were not the greatest, bishops were not the greatest, whether you like or dislike, it doesn't matter. The pope, the bishop, the priests, should I include the deacons in that same role? No. The deacons, we may not always have the answers. The answer is in the truth of the Eucharist. The answer is in the truth and the belief in who Jesus Christ is and what he was willing to do for each and every one of us. Paul knew this. Paul preached this. Paul lived this. And we have Jesus going back to his hometown. You know, a prophet in his own hometown is not recognized nor appreciated. But here he is, and he's trying to preach, and what are the people saying? The false news media, even in that day. Oh, look at him and what he's doing. It's from the evil one. He is the evil one. And Jesus, got to love that man's patience. Really? If he fights against himself, he's going to lose. That's what happens. Catholics fighting against Catholics, we're going to lose. Hence the importance of staying faithful to the church and to what she teaches and the Eucharist. But Paul wants us to have that takeaway, that what we are all about is not here, not on this planet, not on this earth, but rather of the kingdom. If we realized how soon we would be forgotten, we'd realize that God never forgets about us. And make sure our relationship is with God as well as with humans. So they tell him that his mother and his brothers are present, and he asks the question, and it was not one of meanness or spite. Who are my brothers and sisters and mother, he asks. He wanted to prove the point that those gathered in that place at that time, listening to his words, wanting to follow the gospel he was preaching in front of them, these are his brothers and sisters, united in this faith and in this understanding that salvation comes from God. This is what we need to believe. This is who we are as Catholics. This is the core of our belief. And even when there are changes and difficulties, we need to be steadfast and true to what we know is the gospel, to the Eucharist, to Mass, to our prayer life, to our faith. And they say, we know, change is hard. Heard a lot of people say, I don't like change. And then I kick into my ha-ha-ha mode with, you're wearing different clothes from yesterday, right? You changed. And apparently pizza three times a week is bad for some people. Can't have the same meal all the time. No, we don't like to manipulate our lives. We don't like to get out of our routines. That's what we don't like, but change is inevitable. The one constant is change. And leadership in a Catholic church, in a parish, deacons, we get moved. And I don't know that everybody understands the role of the deacon sometimes. There are about 20,000 permanent deacons in the United States, vast majority of whom are married men, vast majority of whom have secular jobs. There's only about 2,000 deacons in the United States that are employed in some capacity in the church, full-time, part-time. So if I was working at Lockheed or McDonald's or Walmart, any of those places where my skill set would be appropriate, right, and the bishop said, I need to move you to another place, the work wouldn't matter. I'd still punch in Monday morning like I normally did. When you're employed by the church, these two things get intertwined and get mixed up. So when the assignment needs to change, because there is one priest at St. Vincent de Paul in Arlington with 3,300 families, the bishop wanted to assign another deacon there. I'm sorry he had to dig so low, but here I go. And that affected the employment scenario as well. Different job there, different pay, lots of things are different. But I'll still get to serve the people of God, as I hope that I did well here. Change is inevitable. It's very interesting. I teach homiletics to the guys who are wanting to be deacons in this diocese. And I tell them, yes, Scripture is absolutely important. But don't forget about the prayers that Father says at Mass. And I fell victim to my own advice. I completely forgot about the opening prayer. Excuse me. Every once in a while, we hear in absolute certainty that God is talking to us through Scripture and through the readings and through our prayers. This morning's opening prayer. Grant that we who call on you in our need may rest at, may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance to do it. My obedience is to the Bishop of Fort Worth. He says, you got to move. I say, well, never mind what I said. Because what I thought was a whole different reel playing out there. Okay, here it goes. So we've got to understand, though, that we are people of God. You know, the same scenario played out almost 8 years ago when I was at St. John the Apostle in North Richland Hills. New pastor comes in. He wants a different team. Okay, I'm looking for a job. Father Jim hires me here. Change. It happens. It's happening again for me right now. Someone asked me, why do you put up with it? Why don't you just get a secular job? The kind of money I could make in industry? The only thought that has ever come into my mind when I ask that question is, where will I go? I know where the truth is. So, I stay the course. You do what you got to do, put on my big boy jeans, and do what needs to be done. And change is challenging, it's difficult. 35 finally gets cleared up on my commute here, and now I got to drive down 820, and it's a mess. I think I'm supposed to be commuting with the construction workers. But we do what we are told to do. We're faithful to the one true God. As an ordained deacon, I have an obligation, and I will do what I am called to do. As difficult and challenging as it is to leave all of you fun people, and we're going to party in a minute, it has to be done. And Father Jim, he's called to retirement now. He's earned it. Well done, good and faithful servant. But there's change, and there'll be change here, and everyone will get through it. You've done it before. You'll do it again. And as long as we are faithful to the gospel, as long as we know who we are citizens of the kingdom, and we need to live by those rules. To be compassionate, caring, loving to one another. To take care of one another, to be present for one another in the good times and in the challenging times, and to stay close to the Eucharist. Stay close to Mary, our mother. And may God bless you all.